CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. My colleague, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek, and The Hill, joins me because we're off to consult with our colleague, Michael Yan, war correspondent. You can find him at patreon.com. Michael is in Central America on the story of the Great Migration. However, his home base is out of Southeast Asia, Chiang Mai, in the northern part of Thailand, very close to the border with Myanmar. There's a raging civil war in Myanmar from all reporting. It is now so out of control that there are reports, routine reports, of airstrikes. The puzzle here is airstrikes why and who and how long is this going to go on? Michael, a very good evening to you. Remind us about the Thai-Myanmar border. Is it open? Is it closed? Are the people in Myanmar able to flee to Thailand? Is Thailand at all at risk of this civil war spreading? Good day to you, Michael.
Certainly Thailand is at risk. I mean, a couple of Thais apparently were just shot, actually, in an area where I've been quite a few times. My office is not far from there, about 3 hours, actually, because it's a windy road and that sort of thing. But if you hear any birds in the background, for the ornithologists out there, I'm in Darien in Panama, so if you're doing your ID, these are not Thai birds, although the birding here is fantastic. Like it is out in the jungle there on the Burma-Thai border. And the fighting has always spread over. For instance, even back in the 50s and 60s, the Kunmintang, you know, from Taiwan was out there fighting and eventually came under control of the Thai army. And so they were out there fighting the communists. For decades, I've been out and met some of the very, very old timers. So this is a continuation of things that's gone on forever. I mean, it's a forever war like Afghanistan, like so many other places. It's flaring up right now, but it's one group against another. It never ends. It's, you know, it's a very dysfunctional area of the world, whereas Thailand is more functional. Thailand, certainly has held it together, especially under King Rama Knight, who unfortunately has passed away. He was a great friend of the United States and fought communists very well. And, you know, they had a very, very serious heroin problem up there in the Golden Triangle for many years, but he helped, replace the heroin with crops like coffee. And this was, you know, all part of fighting communists and all these many insurgent groups out there. For instance, the Wa, who still grow opium in great abundance. This is just a never ending story. I don't see it ending anytime soon, but we certainly can help quash it by putting pressure on the Myanmar government.
We read from the AP report out of Bangkok. Myanmar government forces launched airstrikes against ethnic minority guerrillas in two areas of the country, Myanmar. Fighting has been raging daily in northern Myanmar in territory controlled by the Kachin Independence Organization representing the Kachin minority, and in the east by the Karen National Union representing Karen. Both groups, says AP, have struck alliances with the popular movement opposing the junta that seized power in the country several months past, ousting the elected government of Aung San Suu Kyi. Gordon, this looks very much like anarchy throughout the region, but as Michael says, they've been fighting for a long time. What is it that the Myanmar government, the military coup, what do they want to accomplish, Gordon? Because it looks that they're reproducing the mistakes that the U.S. has made over the years. You cannot bomb independence movements. They don't respond to it. They just get stronger.
Well, the government wants to exercise more control, and the Karen and the Kachin want autonomy. They want to run their own lives. So as Michael says, this is continuing, but it does appear that the government seems to be losing its outposts up there, which is an indication that they have so many different fronts right now, not only in the northern part of Burma, Myanmar, but also with the democracy protesters. So the government really has its hands full.
You have a question for Michael Gordon.
Michael, these reports that we've been getting over the last week or so show that the government outposts have been overrun. Is that your assessment as well, or is this just spotty reporting?
I'm not there, but some of those outposts that I've been to and by, I mean, they're easy to overrun. I mean, the Karen people, the Kachin people, they're well armed. A lot of them are well trained. They're very motivated. They certainly hate the government. And, you know, it's jungle. And, you know, it's, as we've talked about numerous times over in recent times, that, you know, they can bomb as much as they like. They really don't have a capacity to do B-52 airstrikes and that sort of thing. They can run people out of villages and kill a lot of Karen and Ketchin and other people out there. But ultimately, it's jungle warfare, and it's just going to continue on and give a black eye to the Burmese government. They give themselves a black eye. It's not going to end. And as the worse it gets, the more Americans and others that will flood in. Czech people love to help Karen people, for instance. Others will come in and help. And it just will not end.
Michael, I read from the report, both Karen Peace Support Network and the Free Burma Rangers confirmed a total of 6 air attacks involving jets and helicopters. They said there were no known casualties, but the Peace Support Network said about 300 villagers fled across the border. Is your information that there, the Karen and the Ketchin are fleeing into Thailand, and does Thailand provide refuge for people fleeing the bombs?
Definitely. Thailand definitely does this, and at times turns them back, but they definitely help. I've been out in some of the villages. The Free Burma Rangers I consider to be a reliable source. I know some of the Free Burma Rangers. I've been out with them quite a lot. In fact, I've been out with one here in Panama quite a lot. And so they're all over the world in places like Syria and Africa. And certainly, for instance, Dave Eubank, who runs Free Burma Rangers, his children literally were raised out in those mountains in Burma. They speak the local languages. They ride horses bareback. I mean, he's an ex-Green Beret, retired from the Army. I think he retired from the Army. I'm sorry if that's incorrect, but he was certainly an ex-Green Beret officer, and his parents were missionaries over there. So he goes way back. He speaks Thai. He speaks some of the local languages there in Myanmar, and I find him very reliable.
Gordon?
Michael, do the Karen and the Ketchin cooperate with each other, or do they operate independently in their struggles with the Burmese government?
Both. And for instance, for years, Free Burma Rangers has tried to get them to cooperate more with each other, as have others. But they, you know, there's the infighting, and they fight quite a lot with each other. But they also are, you know, if you'll see online, you'll see them calling for cooperation between each other. You remember in Hong Kong, the Hong Kongers, their movement fell apart in 2014 when they started infighting. And then in 2019, certainly they had learned from that very quickly and kept infighting to a minimum. But the Burmese, like the Afghans, they never learn about infighting, and it'll just keep going, is my opinion. My guess is that it'll keep going.
Michael, is this a threat to the stability of Thailand, which has had what you'd have to say on-again, off-again relations with the military? Can the civil war spill over?
Well, Teflon Thailand, you know, have spent a lot of time running around all over that country, and it seems like no matter what hits it, it gets knocked down and it stands right back up again. I mean, it gets hit hard by a lot of things, whether it's a tsunami or a flood in Bangkok and just economic doldrums and coups, which I was at 2 of the coups, and they just keep rolling. So people are constantly, like, you know, in the old days of Walmart, constantly prognosticating about its downfall, but then it just gets right back up again. Now, Thailand is subject to information war. There are people trying to split Thailand into 3 parts, and just as people are trying to split the United States and some other countries. And so that information war is quite serious. And so that I do consider to be a major threat.
One more question, Gordon.
Michael, there have been a number of continuing protests on pro-democracy people in, you know, across the country. How's that going right now? Who's winning, the regime or the pro-democracy forces?
I'm not there to put my finger on the pulse. According to my sources, it continues to go strong. I mean, the resistance continues to go strong. You know, I don't want to see Thailand fall apart. I have so many friends and family in Thailand who are Thai, and it's a wonderful country. But, you know, and it's always a fractious country as well, if not for the Thaiification, what they call Thaiification several generations ago, where they tried to get everybody on board with a common history and a common language, which is Thai, because, you know, there's languages all over the country and many different cultures. If not for that, Thailand would have fallen apart already. So it has natural organic fracture lines that people are trying to exploit to try to split it apart.
Michael Yan, war correspondent. He's in Panama commenting on his home base in Southeast Asia, Chiang Mai, in Thailand. And we're commenting on what we know so far about the Myanmar military bombing, strafing villages in the north of Myanmar, the Karen and Kachin independence movement. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.